Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Ever wish you could trade in your house and upgrade? Well, now's your chance. We'll discuss in a moment. First, these money headlines. The Wall Street Journal's daily shot column points out that economists expect second quarter GDP growth to exceed 3% on an annualized basis. The New York Fed's nowcast model for the second quarter is at 3.2%, with the latest boost coming from regional manufacturing surveys. Also, capital investments and overall consumption have driven GDP growth over the past several years. But Google search data indicates that consumers are now less inclined to spend and that consumers are experiencing the highest level of stress since late 2008. The Commerce Department says that sales of newly built single-family homes fell 1.5% in April from a month earlier to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 662,000. That comes in lower than the 679,000 expected by economists. And while sales were still well higher than a year earlier, the Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street team says that new home sales remain well below pre-financial crisis levels, mostly due to the high cost of labor and materials, coupled with rising mortgage rates. Builders can't easily step up construction. Framing labor costs have jumped 39% over a year ago, and labor availability has become a persistent concern. And Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Cheney points out that the share of new delinquencies on student loans has fallen to the lowest level in more than a decade, and it's not just due to the healthy labor market. Now, granted, April unemployment came in at 3.9%, which is its lowest point since late 2000, and economic growth picked up over the past year. But another factor is that more borrowers are using options to postpone payments or to reduce the amount they're required to pay each month. The first option, known as forbearance, allows borrowers to go months without making a payment while remaining in good standing on their debt. And the second option, called income-driven repayment, sets borrowers' monthly payments as a share of their income, typically 10% of discretionary income as defined by a formula. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Is your 401k on track? Bloom, with three O's, is the simple and smart way to grow your 401k. Go online to Bloom401k.com to get your truly free 401k audit. Simply grab your employer-held 401k account login info, and in a matter of minutes, Bloom performs an unbiased analysis of your 401k right before your eyes, showing you the best fund mix to meet your goals while minimizing investment fees. Bloom does all the work for you. The hardest part for you is remembering there are three O's in Bloom. Enter promo code WSJ for your first month free. Visit Bloom401k.com and try it for free now.
Welcome back, everybody. It's easy enough to trade in your old phone for a new souped-up model or trade in your car. But can you trade in your home? Turns out you can, and Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Casisto is here with details. So, Laura, this idea of trading in your home was introduced by a San Francisco startup. They're experimenting in a few U.S. cities, right?
Essentially, if you walk into a sales office at, say, a Lennar development, and you want to buy a brand new home, but as with many people, you have to find some way to get rid of your existing one, they'll refer you to this startup called Open Door. And Open Door says they'll make you a cash offer within 24 hours, take that home off your hands, and you can live in it until your new home is ready.
It's almost like the advertisements we see for companies involved with loans, taking a loan off someone's shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that a lot of people need the equity from their old home for the down payment. And so basically, you've got a ready-made down payment in that home if you can sell it. And so that's the pitch. Of course, it sounds a little too good to be true.
Well, you know, you spoke to some homeowners who were very skeptical about this process. They actually had a very good experience.
Yeah, I was skeptical of it as well. I mean, the difference between your home and your cell phone is your home is your biggest asset. I assume it's worth a lot more than your cell phone.
That's right.
And of course, a home is a very emotional purchase. It's very subjective. And I wondered, you know, if they would be taking advantage of people. And of course, you know, I don't know what the full universe of people is, but I talked to some people who said that real estate agents warned them, well, they'll give you a really good offering price, but then they'll nickel and dime you on the inspection. And before you know it, you won't be getting nearly as much as you thought you would. But then when they went through the process, they said they actually got more money than if they tried to put it on the market, or at least than they were going to list it for. And they didn't have to go through all the hassle of selling a house.
You also mentioned in your story that if this idea spreads to many more cities, it could pose a threat to the residential brokerage industry. Can you just explain that for us?
Yeah. So Opendoor has an in-house brokerage team, but they don't use external brokers. And there is a point where you think, do I really need an agent to sell my home if someone will come by, give me an offer within 24 hours, take it off my hands? You know, all that work that the agent does in terms of fixing your home up, getting it ready to sell, pricing the home, it becomes somewhat irrelevant, especially if someone's buying a new home and, you know, people don't generally use agents to buy new homes either.
You know, for people who would be getting really getting rid of their home or selling it, it can involve a lot of work in terms of just upkeep and sprucing it up to get the house on the market. And Opendoor can help homeowners with that process. I guess it's because they get a lot of benefit out of this process.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that Opendoor can benefit in two ways. First of all, they take a fee that's similar to the commission that you would have paid to a real estate agent. And second of all, in this market, at least, chances are they're going to take part in some upside if they turn around and resell it. Because we're in a rising market, they'll put a little bit of money into it. And the idea is that they can benefit from some appreciation. What I say in the story that I'm a little bit skeptical about, I would certainly be wary about if I were an investor, is especially with new homes where people often don't move in for 3 to 6 months, where's the housing market going to be 3 to 6 months from now?
You mentioned that it's a risk that is posed to Opendoor here between the time between they actually make an offer and when they actually take possession of the home is that, you know, we know the housing market can easily take a 90-degree angle and you know, at a moment's notice.
Especially we're in an era of rising mortgage rates. Mortgage rates are now at the highest level in 7 years. They're expected to continue going up. That just inevitably at some point puts downward pressure on house prices and on demand. And so they're definitely exposing themselves to some risk there.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Casisto joining us here in our studio. Laura, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.